In today's news headlines, former White House counsel Don McGahn refused to respect a congressional subpoena to testify in front of the House Judiciary Committee hearing on Tuesday, becoming the second official from President Donald Trump's administration to refuse Congress's wishes in the past month. Committee Chair Gerald Nadler's anger was palpable in his opening statement during the short meeting.
This committee issues a subpoena even to a senior presidential advisor. The witness must show up. Our subpoenas are not optional. Mr. McGahn has a legal obligation to be here for this scheduled appearance. If he does not immediately correct his mistake, this committee will have no choice but to enforce the subpoena against him. Mr. McGahn did not appear today because the president prevented it. Just as the president has said that he would, quote, fight all subpoenas, close quote, issued by Congress as part of his broader efforts to cover up his misconduct.
That's House Judiciary Committee Chair Gerald Nadler of New York vowing that President Trump will be held accountable after former White House counsel Don McGahn ignored a subpoena to testify. In a letter to the committee ahead of the hearing, McGahn's lawyer wrote that his client is, quote, conscious of the duties he as an attorney owes to his former client. In other words, McGahn was taking direction from Trump. In related news, a federal judge ruled against Trump over his financial records. The House Oversight Committee had subpoenaed Trump's former accounting firm, Mazars USA, for the president's business records, and the White House sued to stop the company from turning over the data. In a 41-page ruling, a judge in D.C. decided the president's suit has no standing. Meanwhile, the president has slammed a New York Times report on Deutsche Bank that was released on Sunday that showed the bank's staff flagging Trump and his son-in-law's transactions for suspicious activity and bank executives overriding those concerns. The House Financial Services and House Intelligence Committees have both subpoenaed Deutsche Bank for Trump's records. The bank, hungry to do business in the U.S., had loaned Trump's businesses and Kushner companies hundreds of millions of dollars and was the only major bank willing to issue loans to Trump. Trump's former attorney Michael Cohen's closed-door testimony to a House committee this past March was made public in part on Monday night. The transcripts show that Cohen warned members of Congress that Trump attorney Jay Sekulow shaped his 2017 testimony to Congress about how negotiations for a Trump Tower Moscow went well into Trump's presidential campaign. And negotiations are underway right now between Special Counsel Robert Mueller and House Judiciary Committee members for the circumstances of Mueller's testimony. Mr. Mueller wants part of his hearing to be behind closed doors, while Democrats want to make it all public. Given the White House's continued stonewalling, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is reportedly facing serious pressure from her own colleagues to begin impeachment proceedings. The Washington Post reported that members of Pelosi's leadership team have been pressing her to, quote, begin an impeachment inquiry against President Trump in a series of Monday night meetings, according to multiple officials in the rooms. She has faced strong pressure from Representative Nadler in particular, but so far she has stood firm against it. Meanwhile, Michigan Republican Congressman and self-described libertarian Justin Amash said he believes that, quote, Attorney General Barr has deliberately misrepresented Mueller's report and that the president has, quote, engaged in impeachable conduct. Amash, who has drawn the ire of his GOP colleagues for taking such a position, may be considering a primary challenge to Trump. President Trump held a rally in Montoursville, Pennsylvania on Monday, during which he spent an hour rambling on a variety of topics of great interest to his supporters. Among the stranger things to emerge from his mouth was an attack on presidential candidate Joe Biden for moving away from Pennsylvania. Biden was only 10 or 11 years old when his family left the state for Delaware.
Look at the thousands and thousands of people we have. Now, they said he had 600 people. No, I'm very good. I'd say 150. And that was on an announcement, right? I'd say 150 people. But he announced he's running for president, and he said it's because foreign leaders called him up Biden deserted you. He's not from Pennsylvania. I guess he was born here, but he left you, folks. He left you for another state. Remember that, please. I meant to say that. This guy talks about, oh, I know Scranton. I know that. Well, I know the place is better. He left you for another state, and he didn't take care of you because he didn't take care of your jobs.
That's Trump at a political rally in Pennsylvania on Monday. He also egged on his crowd to chant, lock them up, in response to his anger over Democrats investigating him. And he slammed his favorite network, Fox News, for hosting a televised town hall meeting with South Bend, Indiana Mayor Peter Buttigieg. Trump spoke ahead of a special election in Pennsylvania to fill the seat vacated by Republican Tom Marino, who had resigned earlier this year. Republican Fred Keller and Democrat Mark Friedenberg are vying against one another on Tuesday. Ahead of his Pennsylvania rally, where Trump also touted his role in a robust economy, Ford Motor Company announced that it was laying off thousands of workers. Ford CEO Jim Hackett sent a letter to his employees titled Smart Redesign Update, announcing that 800 people would lose their jobs by June and that a total of 7,000 would be let go globally by the end of August. Instead of spelling out that they were being laid off, Hackett talked in terms of team members that would be, quote, separated from the company. The White House did not yet respond to the announcement. Former Kansas State Secretary Chris Kobach wants to be Trump's new Secretary of Homeland Security. Kobach, who had been a member of Trump's now-defunct Voter Fraud Commission, has made it his life's mission to attack immigrants. The New York Times just obtained an internal list of demands that Kobach made to the White House as conditions for taking a lead role on immigration policy. That includes an office in the West Wing, 24-hour access to a jet, weekends off to be with his family in Kansas, and authority to be the nation's main spokesperson on immigration. Kobach's list also includes a guarantee for the job of Homeland Security Secretary by this November. The Times reported that some White House staffers were, quote, taken aback by what they regard as its presumptuousness. Meanwhile, a fifth immigrant child had died while in U.S. custody since late last year. A 16-year-old boy from Guatemala was found to be unresponsive at a border patrol station in southern Texas on Monday morning, more than 2 months after he was detained. The news comes just a week after a 2-year-old child died in border patrol's custody. And finally, longtime Southern California-based activist and Chicano leader Nativo Lopez has passed away. Lopez was a frequent guest on Pacifica Radio on issues of immigrant and workers' rights. He led the organization Hermandad Mexicana Latinoamericana for many years and was battling gastrointestinal cancer for several months when he died at the age of only 68. And that does it for our news headlines today.